Continuing with the introduction of Bhagavad Gita as it is, Lord Krishna descends specifically to re-establish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose, and that you must be knowing that the purpose is to become a devotee of Krishna and serve Krishna with love. This is the main reason why the living entity is entangled in this material world, and this is called avidya. Avidya means being forgetful of our real swarupa as servant of Krishna, which is called the avaranatmika potency of Krishna, Krishna's Maya, which is called avidya. And second is prakshipatmika, that means believing something which we are not. That means we are not this dead matter, dead body, but we are believing like that. So these two things are aspects of avidya. To destroy avidya, the only means is hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Krishna comes to establish the real principles of dharma, which is pure devotional service, which is the purpose why Lord descends. This has been explained by Mother Kunti in her prayers, Bhavesmen klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi, that you come here to establish the principles of hearing and chanting, by which the living entity's beginningless ignorance get destroyed, and then they can become lovers of you, lovers of Krishna, and then they go back to Godhead. Even then, out of many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position, and for him this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. That means people are suffering, but those who are awakened, they realize that they are suffering and there should be higher purpose, there should be a solution to that, they should work to stop that suffering. Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik Kleshas, which we will discuss also in the future. So now, when a person is awakened that I am suffering, so he doesn't endeavor for enjoying in this world. Yes, but he still has not understood what is the solution for it. So, among those people who want to get perfection, a person who understands that he is a servant of Krishna, after hearing from Bhagavad Gita through faith, and then begins to render service to Krishna, such a person is extremely rare. And now we can become that kind of person by associating with devotees. That is why association of devotees is the most rare thing in this material world, because we can come to our actual position of, or knowing our actual position of a servant of Krishna, only by association of devotees. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigrins of nuisance, but the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. This is very important. Why Srila Prabhupada is using the word tigress of nuisance? Nuisance is avidya, ignorance of our sarupa, and it has been compared to tigress because tigress has very powerful jaws. It's not that when I'm in the jaws of a tigress, that by my option, by my own desire, I can get out of here. It's not possible. So, and the tigress is swallowing us. That means we are completely forgetful of what to do, what is the aim of life, how should I behave so that we'll become liberated? No. And I'm continuing to suffer in this material world. So that's why, and one more thing is there. Just like suppose a person is sick, so he should eat something which will cure his disease, and he should avoid those things which will aggravate his disease. But because of avidya, ignorance, I am particularly engaging in those things which will aggravate my disease. That is sense gratification. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yehi sansparshaja bhoga dukha yunaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshuramate buddha, that the very sense gratification is the very source of misery. But it's amazing that the whole world is mad for sense gratification, in a sense to say that they are mad for suffering. They are mad for getting suffering. This is how illusioned the whole world is. So just because they are illusioned doesn't mean that the Lord is not merciful to them and he will not care about them. Even though they have revolted against Krishna, Krishna comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita so that they can understand their relationship with the Lord and be cured of this madness. Also, it's important that when Lord Krishna descends, his extreme mercy is exhibited when he speaks something about himself. Because unless we know, we hear about Krishna, we can never know him. So this is extremely important. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna his student. That means Arjuna was not in ignorance. As we can say, his friend, Krishna's friend. That means his relationship with Krishna is eternally revived. But he was being used as a means to speak Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance. But Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life so that the Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. Today itself I was hearing one lecture of my Guruji, and he was saying that one has to first decide what is his sadhya in life. What does he consider as perfection in life? Very, very deep point. Now, if I consider something as perfection, whatever is that perfection, then naturally I'll think about the means to get that perfection. Isn't it true? So now, through Arjuna, Lord Krishna is telling us what is the highest perfection, which is to go back to Godhead. So once a person realizes that it is not merging into Brahma Jyoti, it is not sense gratification, it is not simply realizing Paramatma, but actually to become a devotee, loving devotee of Krishna, which is the perfection of our life, and the only way to attain that is through sadhana bhakti, then only a person will take to sadhana bhakti. So this is extremely important. As Prabhupada explained, chalk out the plan of life. Everybody has some plan in his life. Oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. It's called chalking out or planning out your life. But the foundation of that plan is that I consider some goal to be achieved in my life before I die. So this is extremely important, that the plan to achieve love of God is the only best plan. This is the only plan which is good for us. And for that, we need to learn bhakti. And that's why Lord Krishna comes here to explain this to us for all future generations. And by his arrangement, what he spoke to Arjuna is also preserved by the mercy of Srila Vyasadev and by the mercy of the whole parampara, so that the knowledge can be received by conditioned soul like us. The subject of the Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. This is very interesting that people read Bhagavad Gita for years together and for hours together, but they don't even know what are the five topics of Bhagavad Gita. This shows that the teacher who is teaching them Bhagavad Gita himself does not know. So there are five topics, we will discuss them. First of all, the science of God is explained, and then the constitutional position of the living entities, jivas. That means who is God and what is the eternal relationship of the jivas with God. We must understand Bhagavad Gita explains sambandha gyan and abhideya and prayojan. This is the subject matter of all the Vedas. Sambandha gyan, sambandha means relationship, and abhideya means process, and prayojan means the goal to be attained. So all those things are explained in Bhagavad Gita and explained in Vedas. And because Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Vedas, essence of all Upanishad, sarva upanishado gavo dogdha gopala nandanah partho partho vasta sudhir bhokta dugdham gita mritam mahat. So because Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads, so now definitely it talks about the sambandha gyan. So sambandha gyan, you can make a triangle in which the top is Lord Shri Krishna, on the right side, on down side is jiva, and then prakriti. So what is the relationship between each of them, between jiva and maya, between maya and Krishna, and Krishna and jiva? This is called sambandha gyan. And knowing that, only a person can become liberated from a conditioned life. So this is all explained. So first topic is God. Who is God? And what is my relationship with him? There is Ishvara, which means the controller, and there are jivas, the living entities which are controlled. If a living entity says that he is not controlled, but that he is free, then he is insane. And it is very clear that a person who says, I am free to do whatever I wish to do, so you can understand that the desires are arising from mind. So he is basically being controlled by mind, and the mind is basically being controlled by the three modes of material nature, Rajagun, Tamagun and Satagun. So essentially, when a person says, I am free, basically he is not free. He is completely controlled through the modes of material nature. So the jiva's very nature is to become controlled, either by Krishna or by Maya. The living being is controlled in every respect, at least in his conditional life. That means free expression or full expression of our free will only manifest in the spiritual world, where we could be completely free to do whatever we want for the pleasure of Lord. But in material world, we are conditioned. It is interesting to learn about this, because when we are conditioned means our reaction can be predicted. If somebody becomes angry at me, I'll become angry at him. If somebody gives me sense gratification, I'll think he's his friend. But as a person becomes liberated, and when he's fully liberated, you cannot predict his reaction. But his reaction is always for the welfare of the people with whom he's interacting. That is for sure. But how it will be there, we can never judge. So anyhow, we are controlled. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with the Ishvara, the supreme controller, which is Krishna, and the jivas, ourselves, the controlled living entities, prakriti or material nature and time, the duration of existence of the whole universe or the manifestation of material nature, and karma are also discussed. So the five topics are Ishvara, jivas, prakriti means material nature, time, which means the duration for which the material nature manifests itself, and karma. The cosmic manifestation is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. This is called karma, and these activities lead to their further bondage. So in Bhagavad Gita, it will be explained how that by engaging in action also, we can be liberated, and that's a great mystery which will be explained in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes people think that when we have to act, then we will have to get bound, because there has to be an action for all karmas. But it's not like that, so that will be explained later on. From Bhagavad Gita, we must learn what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how it is controlled by time, and what the activities of the living entities are. So you can understand these are the five topics of Bhagavad Gita, and by that we learn how to survive in this material world. So Bhagavad Gita is a survival manual for the living entities who are living in this world, in the sense that how they can be in the world, not be of the world. As Lord Krishna will explain in Bhagavad Gita, Padmam Patram Ivam Bhasa. Just like the lotus leaf is on the water but not in the water, similarly, while a devotee is living in this world, he can fully act as much as possible, as much as he wants, but acting for the pleasure of Krishna, he remains free from karma and clears his path home back to Godhead. So now, we'll go ahead. Out of these five basic subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead or Krishna or Brahman or the Supreme Controller or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, is the greatest of all. Nityo Nitya Naam Chetanas Chetana Naam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidhati Kaman. Among all those people who are conscious, Krishna is the Supreme, and He Himself alone is satisfying the needs of all others. The living beings are in quality like the Supreme Controller. That means, Prabhupada will give the example. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the directions of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction. When we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature, we should know that behind this cosmic manifestation there is a controller. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or other animal pulling it, but a sane man knows the nature of the automobile's engineering arrangement. He always knows that behind the machinery there is a man, a driver. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver under whose direction everything is working. So this has to be explained. We can make a guess of something which is unseen by seeing what is seen. Just like in an airplane, if you see an airplane flying, so you may not see the pilot, but definitely because the plane is flying, so you can make a very reasonable guess that the pilot is there and he's not crazy because the plane is not going down. Similarly, you can also assume that the pilot, the plane has fuel in it, because if there is no fuel, then again the plane will come down. So I'm not seeing the fuel, I'm not seeing the pilot, but I can make a guess that it is there. Now, it is interesting that yes, even if the fuel is there, but if there is no pilot, definitely it will not work. So whenever we see control, we naturally have to assume that there is a controller. And controller is not dead matter, controller is a conscious person. So those things have to be understood, that the Supreme Lord is not simply a concept, it's not simply some impersonal energy, but he is a conscious person, supremely conscious person, which has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Abhigya. He's conscious of everything in this material world and spiritual world, everything. So from this it has to be understood. Now it's also, Prabhupada is giving is that, in an automobile, the driver may not be seen, but because the automobile is working or running, so we can understand that the driver is driving the vehicle. So Supreme Lord is in control, and it's interesting that I am not in control. So if I am not in control, doesn't mean that nobody is in control. It's a very interesting point, because many times in our lives things go out of our hand. But we must understand that things are completely controlled minutely by Lord Sri Krishna, and whatever he does, ultimately it is for our own good. To realize that we are not the controllers is very good. In that way we become a little bit humble also. Now the jivas or the living entities have been accepted by the Lord, as we will note in the later chapters, as his parts and parcels. This has to be understood. Parts means that we are in the same quality as Krishna, and parcels means that we are individual. That means we are never going to become merged with Krishna. It's not possible. We are Sanatan, we are eternal. So our perfection is not to become merged with Krishna, but to merge our desires in Krishna. What does it mean? It means that we should not desire anything except satisfaction of Krishna. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. We should merge our desires for Krishna in Krishna. That means our desire should only be for satisfaction for Krishna, and we can have unlimited desires, but everything for the pleasure of Lord. But our individuality is never to be merged. It is not possible. A particle of gold is also gold. A drop of water from the ocean is also salty. And similarly, we, the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller, Ishwar or Bhagwan, Lord Shri Krishna, have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in minute quantity, because we are minute Ishwaras, subordinate Ishwaras. We are trying to control nature, as presently we are trying to control space or planets, and this tendency to control is there because it is in Krishna. But although we have a tendency to lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the supreme controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. You see how Jiva's relationship with Maya, with material nature, has been explained here. Srila Prabhupada is giving such a beautiful purport in this, that how Jivas are trying to control material nature, but they must understand that they are not the supreme controllers. They have not created this world. We have not created this world, and we don't know how it works also. We don't even know what is the purpose of it unless we hear from Bhagavad Gita. So knowing that, a person should become a little bit intelligent. Yes, I want to control, I have a dominating mentality, but I am not a supreme controller. It's not that I can do things on my own without taking help of anybody. So now, and also, to the degree I want to enjoy this world, to that degree I become more and more entrapped in this world. Means, to the degree I enjoy senses, engage in sense gratification, to that degree the identification with matter will become very strong in my consciousness. And then there will be more desire to become to dominate the material nature. Another problem which will happen is that although I am suffering when I enjoy sense gratification, But it creates an illusion in my heart that yes, I have been trying to enjoy this sense gratification this way, but it didn't work out yet. But it will. I will. If I try it in a different way, then definitely it will work out. This is also an illusion within our consciousness. This all happens by not understanding our relationship material nature, with the material nature. So we must understand that jivas belong to Krishna. They have nothing to do with material nature. Just like Indians don't worry what happens in America, because they say, oh, we have nothing to do with America, we are Indians. So depending on our sense of identity will be our sense of concern. So because we are, so ultimately we are not belonging to this material world, so actually a devotee is not concerned about material world. He simply becomes more and more concerned about serving Krishna with love. So yes, so we have a tendency to lord it over material nature. All of us are suffering from that. And the cure is Krishna consciousness. What is material nature? This is also explained in Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. The living entity is explained as a superior prakriti. Prakriti is always under control, whether inferior or superior. Prakriti is female and she is controlled by the Lord just as the activity of a wife are controlled by the husband. Prakriti is always subordinate, predominated by the Lord. Who is the predominator? The living entity and material nature are both predominated, controlled by the Supreme Lord. According to the Gita, the living entities, although parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are to be considered prakriti. This is clearly explained, mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Apareye matastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam. This material nature is my inferior prakriti, but beyond this is another prakriti jiva bhutam, the living entity. We must understand, what is the meaning of apara prakriti and para prakriti? Apara prakriti means non-conscious. This matter, this material world, is completely without consciousness, jad. Actually, one devotee was explaining that it is as inauspicious as a crematorium. But if we render service to Krishna, if we use the same objects in Krishna's service, then the same objects become the cause of our purification. So there is nothing auspicious in this material world. There is nothing auspicious in this material world except when we render service to Krishna, use the same objects for loving service to Krishna, loving devotion to Krishna. Now, what is jiva's nature? Jiva is also prakriti of or energy of Krishna, but it is conscious. And I'll repeat this. What is the meaning of consciousness? The awareness that I exist, that awareness that I exist and that I am different from others. So you try to remember this point, it's extremely important. As jivas, I exist. Just like when you are hearing this lecture, you are aware that you are hearing this lecture. And you are also aware that you are hearing and you are hearing my lecture. That means you are different from me. And you are also different from the phone or whatever device you are using to hear the lecture. So these are the two important points Srila Ramanujacharya explains are called Jnana Shakti of Atma. So which also comes from Krishna. That I am existing and people around me are different from me and the objects around me are also different from me. So you can understand this individuality is absolutely absent in matter. So that means we cannot have relationships with Krishna. We cannot have relationship with matter. And the only way we can be happy is by having sweet loving relationships. So in our life, if we understand this, we should be actually using objects and loving people and then we'll be happy, but we are actually trying to use people, exploit them. So this nature of exploiting matter also transmits to exploiting people who are actually para prakriti of Krishna, and then we have bad relationships. So this is very important if you understand this concept that actually I am a conscious person and people who are around me are also conscious and they are part and parcel of Krishna. So if as a person evolves in his loving relationship with the Lord, he also sees the relationship with other living entities and he becomes very friendly to them, understanding that they are also part and parcel of Krishna and they are very dear to Krishna. It's a very deep subject matter. A further quantitative explanation of what material nature is, we'll discuss later on. Hare Krishna.